Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities, hosting planning seminars at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 3rd in Watseka, Illinois, and at 3 p.m. Wednesday, March 4th in Terre Haute, Indiana. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Citigroup today says it has reached a deal that will give the government up to a 36% stake in the struggling bank. Citi will offer to exchange up to $27.5 billion of its existing preferred stock held by private investors at a conversion price of $3.25 a share, a 32% premium over yesterday's closing price. Under the exchange agreement, the Treasury Department's remaining $20 billion in preferred shares will be converted into a more senior preferred stock that carries an 8% cash dividend rate. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now trading at 7,053. It's down 128 points. The NASDAQ at 1382 is off 8.5 points, and the S&P 500 is trading 837.81, and it is down a few ticks over 15.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
The 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook Meeting is just around the corner. March 10th is the date. The Beef House in Covington, Indiana is the place. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting: ADM, Cargill, Bates Commodities, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Cadent EFG Risk Management Commodities. Joining us now with a look at Friday's agricultural weather forecast is our very own AM 580, Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. And we'll start out today talking about Argentina, because the weather systems in the U.S., while they are impactful, they got some things going on in Argentina, like the harvest or the early harvest, and they do have generalized showers and thunderstorms still expected from late this weekend into early next week. We're looking for rain totals that will range anywhere from a third of an inch up to an inch. Some local amounts may reach all the way up to around 2 inches. Precipitation, once again, lightest in the southwestern portion of the Argentinian crop area, limiting the amount of dryness and crop stress relief that will take place. All of the precipitation will be welcome. However, the heart of the soybean country in the middle of the nation will be getting sufficient moisture to sustain good crop development. Looks like after this weekend and early next week, the next best chance for generalized showers and thunderstorms holds off until the 10th through the 12th of March. Warmer than usual temperatures will continue through the weekend. Highs will be in the mid-80s to the middle 90s. Cooling will start to take place in the southwest Sunday, advancing across the entire nation early next week. In Brazil, forecast really not changing much from what we talked about yesterday. Rain will impact the south most often through the weekend and into early next week. No heavy rainfall is anticipated, but the showers will be persistent enough, and thunderstorms will produce some moderate rainfall totals up to an inch, maybe more by Tuesday. Most of the region from northern Paraná in through Minas Gerais and northern Goiás into Bahia experiencing net drying with very little rain of significance. None of the net drying in central or northeastern Brazil should be looked at as a bad thing, as the soil will firm up notably during the first week of the outlook. Drier soil conditions already promoting faster crop maturation and good harvest progress that will continue into the middle of next week. Rain thereafter will replenish topsoil moisture in support of the late season crops. Now, the U.S., a strong winter storm brought heavy snow across the northwestern Corn Belt yesterday. Locally heavy rainfall across northern Illinois, triggering some flooding there. And the heavy rainfall persisted into western Michigan. Some severe thunderstorms did develop in Missouri and across Illinois. The snowfall greatest from east central South Dakota into southern North Dakota, into central and northern Wisconsin. Some totals reached up to a foot of snow in the Dakotas and 4 to 10 inches of snow common across central and northern Wisconsin. And rainfall totals up to almost 2 inches reported from northeastern Illinois into northwestern Indiana and western Michigan. Some minor flooding occurred in the region. A little significant precipitation will fall across the Midwest until late next week. And most of the flooding that has been occurring recently should come to an end by that time. Southwestern Corn Belt may continue to experience net drying despite precipitation returning to the area late next week. Southwestern Corn Belt will see its soil moisture slowly erode as the season starts to warm up. Greater rainfall will be needed in March and April to support winter wheat development and ensure favorable soil moisture in the southwestern Corn Belt for the upcoming planting season. In the Delta and the Southeast, showers and thunderstorms developed overnight and continue to push through that area with some locally heavy rainfall and some severe weather. That's an area that has been in near drought conditions and some drought persisting for several years. And despite that, some of the rainfall will cause some flooding. Minor flooding may occur across portions of central and northern Missouri through northern Georgia, the Carolinas, and Virginia. The region will benefit from the increase in soil moisture. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola. Enjoy your weekend.
Taking a look at the Thursday overnight trading session in Kansas City, March wheat opened at 554 and a half up a quarter. Last trade down 1 and a half at the Board of Trade. March wheat opened at 515 and three quarters, up 1 and three quarters. Last trade down 3 and a half. May, 525 unchanged. Last trade down 4 and a quarter. And July, 538, up 1 and a quarter, last trade down 4. March corn opened at 361 and a quarter, down 3 quarters, last trade down 3 and a half. May, 369 and a quarter, down 1 and a quarter, last trade down 5. July, 379, down 1 and a quarter, last trade down 5 and a quarter. December, 401 and a quarter, down 1, last trade down 5 and a quarter. March beans open at 865 and a half, down 3 and 3 quarters. Last trade down 13 and a quarter. May, 867 and a quarter, down 1 and a quarter. Last trade down 15. July, 871, down 2 and a quarter. Last trade down 14 and 3 quarters. November, 830 and 3 quarters, down 7 and a quarter. Last trade down 11. May soybean meal, 263, down 20. Last trade down 320. May soybean oil, 31.85, down 8. Last trade down 44. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave. How are you this morning?
I am doing well.
That's good.
The key numbers for the 2009 Agricultural Outlook Forum have been released this morning. And we already got those on our website if you want to look at them at WILLAG.org. But well, let's go ahead and delve in. Stocks, ending stocks, 2009-2010. Corn, 1.720 billion bushels. Soybeans, 381 million. And wheat, 664 million bushels. What do you make of all these numbers?
Well, to me, they're not a real big surprise because of the fact that these numbers were put together approximately 3 months ago, and certainly when we're in the worst situation and the or not knowing at all where we're going with the economy and with demand. But at the same time, I think they're probably going to be disappointing to the trade. I believe that the trade expected to see a little tighter numbers on corn stocks than that. Now, this is, you know, 170 million bushels less than what we're looking at right now at 1.89. So from that side, I guess it's a positive. It's a higher number on beans. I believe that's a reflection of, at that point in time, demand and the idea that we're probably going to plant a lot more bean acres. So I would expect, you know, that they are going to be a negative force or at least a limiting force in the marketplace today.
Do you want to quibble with any of the particulars?
Do I want to quibble with any of the particulars? Well, I guess I could probably quibble with some of it. I think that, you know, they did raise the ethanol back up, and I think that, you know, that's 500 million bushels. I think it could go up more than that, but other than that, I think everything is pretty much right along the line of where a person thought. The feed residual at 5.2 on corn, I think, is realistic and actually, you know, pretty conservative. I'm really surprised. I halfway expected to see them drop that more than what they did. So I think that if you look at the whole picture, it certainly looks as if there's they're showing total domestic use as a higher number for corn. They're showing exports, you know, as a higher number for corn. They're showing total use as a higher number for corn, but the difference is they're showing a larger crop, you know, at 156.9. So you really, we still have to prove we can do that.
Yeah, three more bushels per acre over last year.
That's right. That's right. And so I think that the basic demand picture and use picture looks pretty darn good. It'll all come down to whether we can actually produce that.
All right, then. Let's go ahead and get the calls.
Well, I don't see the calls being a whole lot different than what they were overnight last night. I think that when you look at crude being down, and, of course, we tend to follow it, down 3 to 5 on corn, 10 to 15 on beans, 2 to 4 on wheat, hogs mix, cattle flat.
Hmm. And 20, 30 seconds left. Anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think that, you know, when you look at the farm situation and you look at guys who are looking at cash, just remember that if you think you're going to have to sell cash to pay taxes, please get that taken care of. You know, go out there and forward contract if that's the case, because anybody, if you're doing it, just figure that there's a lot of other people doing it too, and we'll see a poorer basis. Even if the futures are higher at that point in time.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.